We were back on Wednesday, but we're gone last Sunday in Salt Lake City. Pray for Freedom Baptist Church. They're looking for a pastor, a very small number of people, but good folks, and really, really had a good time at the funeral, seeing many people we hadn't seen for a number of years. And just pray for those folks up there. But they're praying for us. I know that. They told me they are. There are some things in life that you will never be able to obtain. You can try as hard as you want. They're just not available to you. I am never going to be a concert pianist. I took piano lessons. Somebody taken piano lessons? And I realized something. That's not a gift God gave me. I am never going to be an NBA basketball player. When I was in high school, I was the shortest student in my class for a while. And I kept thinking, oh, if I could just be tall, I could play basketball. And then I learned something. There's more to playing basketball than being tall. Tall's part of it. Tall's not all of it. I will never be a Rhodes Scholar. And if you don't know what that is, it's just one of those folks that has tremendous academic achievements. I will never be a lot of things. And you won't either. But there is something that is important. In fact, I would say most important, that's available to you, and you could have this in excess of the president, the Rhodes Scholar, the NBA basketball player, the concert pianist. There's something available to you, particularly as a child of God, although if you're not a child of God, you could be. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You can be a child of God. To as many as received Him, John 1:12. Now listen to those words. To as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. To them gave He power. That word power has to do with authority to become the sons of God. So if you're here today and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you know He died on the cross to pay for your sins. You knew you were a sinner. You asked Him to save you because you knew there was nothing else that could. The Bible says, He said, whosoever cometh unto Me, I shall in no wise cast him out. Amen. God never said no to any person that asked for salvation. He won't say no to you either. But as a child of God, and I'm presuming that great majority of us are children, that we are, that God is our Father, that we are saved, there's something available to you. And I would say, to some extent, in a limitless quantity. And when I tell you what it is, you might question me, and I'll try and explain this as we go. But the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. If you look at wisdom up in the dictionary, it's one of those, it's one of those words. It means to be wise. Oh, thank you. That was a lot of help. Understanding is not enough, because there are folks that understand that are not wise. Amen? I think a simple definition of wisdom is not just understanding, but knowing, understanding, knowledge, and then doing what is right. Now, in the passage we're looking at today, in 1 Kings chapter 3, we just finished looking at the first part of this chapter, and that was 2 weeks ago. Do you remember what happened? God came to Solomon. Solomon is now the king. He has taken David's place, and he is now the king. And God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, ask Me for anything, and I'll give it to you. And that's an amazing thought. What would you ask for? Riches? Victory over your enemies? Solomon says, Lord, I most of all desire to have wisdom so that I can lead your people. And God said to him, that's a good request. And He said to Solomon, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you some things you didn't ask for. And Solomon became the most wealthy man who ever lived, most powerful man in his day, and perhaps you could say in the context of the world history that ever lived. He gave him tremendous tremendous peace during his time. It was not a time of war. It was a time of peace. Solomon built the first temple. What an amazing story we'll see as we go through that. But God gave Solomon wisdom. You say, well, Pastor, how can I get wisdom? You know what God gave us? He gave us wisdom. Amen? You won't learn it all in one day. Someone asked me before the service tonight or this morning how long it took me to prepare to be a pastor. And the first thought, and I'm not trying to be cute or anything. The first thing I thought was, I'm still not sure I'm prepared. But I explained that I spent about 8 years in Salt Lake City training to become a pastor. And at the end of that time, they ordained me. And then I spent 15 years in Maryland as a pastor. And now I've spent 6 years in Vision, and I'm getting there. It's a lifelong endeavor. But wisdom is something that's available to us. And I'm not going to talk to you so much about how to get it today as how to know you got it. Because I have people come to me all the time and tell me, oh, no, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I know better. Now, in the first place, if you come to somebody, Mr. Mendez, you're older than I am, is that right? I won't ask you how old. Okay, but I'm 65. This December, in 2 months, I'll be 65. Mr. Mendez is a little older than me. There's some other folks here that are in our 60s. I won't embarrass you. If you're in your teens and you tell somebody in their 60s you know more than they do, you might want to think twice, especially when it comes to the Bible, because probably they've been reading the Bible about twice as long as you've been alive. But if you come to somebody and you say you're wise, now, wouldn't it be good to be wise? Amen? When you see what happens in the story today, you're going to say, that's good. Wow, that's good. And it's because Solomon was wise. When you really are wise, it's going to have a result. It's going to have a product. Yesterday, I did something very unwise. My wife immediately reminded me, because that's what wives are for, to remind husbands when they're not wise. And she came home last night from work, and she said, what did you do to your hand? And I said, well, I went outside to chop weeds. And now, what's the obvious question? Did you wear gloves? No, I said, I thought it wouldn't take very long. I was not wise. So now I got this big blister on my hand, and when I shake hands with you today, don't squeeze too hard or I'll scream, all right? And she said, why didn't you wear gloves? Because I thought I knew better. It wasn't going to be a problem. The wise thing to do would have been to wear gloves. Wisdom has a result. So does foolishness. There's the result of foolishness. Wisdom produces good results, doesn't it? So if you think you're wise, then the question is, let's see what the result of that is. Oh, I got a verse for you. He that winneth souls is wise. And you say, well, you got to be wise to win souls. No. God's the one that causes the soul to be won. You've got to be wise to go. Because you see, when you step into eternity, the money and the goodies you had in this world, they're not going with you. But those souls you won for Christ, they're going. Amen. Think of some of those missionaries that we support that have seen so many people saved, perhaps, that they've lost track. Not that we keep score, but anyway, when they get to eternity, there's going to be a result of their life, isn't there? What's the result of your life going to be? Well, if you're wise, there'll be a good result. And I'll show you this rather quickly. We'll be done by noon, Lord willing. But let's stand and look at this. Let's read the Word of God just a few moments, and we'll see what happens in this case where Solomon's wisdom is seen. And then we'll talk about the proof of true wisdom. I'm going to begin in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. Then came there two women. Now, I just got to go back a little bit. And Solomon, he woke up from his dream in verse 15. He came to Jerusalem. He stood before the ark of the Lord. He offered burnt offerings. So now he's on the throne. Very first thing that happens, verse 16, then came there two women that were harlots under the king and stood before him. The one woman said, oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. And we were together there. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Verse 23, then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my lord, give her the living child, in no wise slay it. But the other woman said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Let's pray. Father, this is an interesting story. We know it's a true story. We know that that wisdom that Solomon had came from you. But we desire to be wise, not in our own conceit, not because of what we have, but because of the wisdom you can give us. God, I pray today that each one here would understand what this passage is about. That we'd realize that when there is true wisdom, there's also proof of that wisdom. Wisdom has a result, just as foolishness does. God, help us to see that quickly this morning, but very thoroughly. And I pray, God, if there's one here that's not saved, that never has trusted Christ as their Savior, never has turned from their sin and asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, I pray this morning that they would ask Christ to save them, believing on him who died on the cross to pay for their sins. Because, Lord, to walk through life having heard the gospel and never received it, and then having done so and dying and going to hell, would be the most foolish thing anybody could do. Lord, bless us now, we ask. Be with our folks who couldn't be here today and care for them as well. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. That's a good story, don't you think? So many things you can see there. I've heard this story before I knew this was a Bible story. I'd heard this somewhere along the way. It's a fairly familiar story. And there are some things that aren't in the Bible. Like, I don't know if you knew it, the tooth fairy's not in the Bible. And how many of you played that game with your children? Yeah, I did too. But anyway, there are some things that are in the Bible that are precious, and this is one of them. Solomon, he became the king. God gave him wisdom. Now it's time to use that. We need to be wise. We live in a world filled with foolishness. Oh, ha. People think they can change their sex. They can change their gender from one to the other. That's pretty foolish. People think it's okay to kill an unborn child. That's pretty foolish. People think it's okay to live their life for themselves and ignore God. That's pretty foolish. We learned this morning in Genesis chapter 4 in Sunday school, Cain was pretty foolish. He could have made a choice to please God. He was given the opportunity. He was warned, sin lieth at the door, and he chose sin anyway. He listened to what he wanted instead of listening to what God wanted. Now, I just want you to know something first of all. Just like Solomon, God wants to help you. God is not opposed to you. God's on your side. And Cain may be a good illustration to start with. Cain had the opportunity to do what's right. And Cain knew what was right. Folks, it is foolish to choose to do what's wrong. It is foolish to disobey and to displease God. But in this passage here, let's look at what wisdom accomplishes. There's something that takes place here because of Solomon's wisdom. And there are three things about wisdom that prove it's present First of all, I want you to know something. Wisdom finds the truth. Now, Jesus said this. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, I am the truth. Brother Nelson Dorr was with us a while back, and he preached a message about the truth, and it was a tremendous message. In fact, it was one of those messages so good that I thought to myself, I wonder if people understand what he's saying. Because in one of the last epistles that John, letters that John wrote, he said to this church, he called the church a lady, and he said, I love you in the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, there's a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of false gospels. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of deception out there. And Satan is the father of lies, and he's the author of deception. He deceived Eve in the garden. He'll deceive you if you let him. He wants to deceive you. He's going to lie. He's going to tell you, if you had that, you'd be happy. If you did that, you'd be happy. Don't worry about God right now. Just like he told Eve in the garden, he says, ye shall not surely die. That was a lie. He says, in the day ye eat thereof, you'll become as God, knowing good and evil. That was a lie. Well, mostly. And things got all better when Eve listened to Satan, didn't they? No, we're still paying the price for that one. Don't blame her. You've done it too. Wisdom finds the truth. You can see it here in verse 22. This woman, these two women are going back and forth. And it's that he said, she said kind of a thing. Or it's one person's word against another. I was, a lady backed into me at Fry's parking lot about 2 weeks ago. And she backed into me. I pulled up behind her. There was somebody in front of me walking. I couldn't go any further. I looked over, and here she comes. And I thought to myself, please don't run over me. And she just backed right into my car. Now, I called her insurance company, and the insurance company said, well, we're not quite sure whose fault it is yet. They said, she told us one thing, and you're telling us another thing. That's interesting. And I think I have a case of the fox watching the hen house here. It's to their advantage for it to be my fault. I haven't heard the answer yet. I'll let you know. But sometimes people don't, you haven't got an obvious answer. Mr. Mendez spends a great deal of his time finding out what the truth is about our students. Because one student says, oh, I did this. The other student says, no, you did that. And here we are, back and forth. There's no easy way to tell. But wisdom is going to find the truth. And so look what happens. The king in verse 22 and 23 listens to these women. And then look at verse 24. This is where it gets good. The king says, bring me a sword. He already knows what to do. You see, when you're wise, God will direct you. Now, we don't always have wisdom, but God always does. Oh, I got a verse for you. This is from the book of James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Don't you like that? So, in Salt Lake City, many, many years ago, the Mormons came to my house. And if you ever have that instance, just tell them you'd like to meet with them in my presence, and I'll come over, and we'll be glad to learn some things. But in this particular instance, it was this young man and another young man, and they knew I was a pastor, so they brought an important guy from the Mormon church to take care of them. So it's the three of them and me. And the young man says to me, he says, well, Joseph Smith, he's a special guy. He prayed because God said if any man will ask wisdom, he can ask and God will give it to him. And I said, so that means I can pray, can't I? Well, he wasn't counting on that. No, because you see, maybe Joseph Smith did or didn't pray. I don't know. But I got the word of God. And I've got a God that can give me wisdom. Folks, wisdom finds the truth. The king says, bring me a sword. Here's what we're going to do. You see, the king understood something about love. And the king said, let's just divide the child and give each of them half, since we really can't tell who the child belongs to. But that wasn't really where he was going with it. Where he was really going was, let's see which mother loves the child. And so the king says, just divide the child in half, and that'll take care of the problem. And the one woman says, no, spare the child, even if I can't raise it, at least it will be alive, because she loved that child. The other woman says, sure, cut it in half. Now, the interesting thing is, even you and I can say, I know what's going on now. Because the wisdom found the truth. And folks, if you will look into the Bible, you will find the truth. And if you will be wise, you will acknowledge that truth and live by it. The wisdom found the truth. Now, there's a second thing that that wisdom did. That wisdom produced a right result. And so, this is a little bit redundant, but in verse 27, the king answered and said, give her, you know which woman that is, the living child, in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. There's a result of wisdom. A good result, the right result. Let me ask you a question. What's the result of your life? What are you producing? What is the wisdom? If you say you have wisdom, what is that wisdom in your life producing? I've got a couple of verses for you. Psalms 9:17 says this, the wicked shall be turned into hell. But Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life is above to the wise that he may depart from hell. As you live your life, do you realize this isn't all there is? There is eternity. Eternity. I'm 65 years old next December. That's a drop in the ocean compared to eternity. One man said, if you took all the sand on the shores of all the seas and you got one sparrow to carry that sand one mouthful at a time from here to the moon, and he flew somehow to the moon and left a speck and came back and got a speck and left a speck and got a speck. When he finished moving all the sand from all the shores of all the seas in the world, that's just the first moment of eternity. Eternity's forever. In heaven or in hell? In eternity, you will not remember and worry about the clothing that you had on this world. I heard somebody talking about tennis shoes the other day, and I never really understood why they would be that expensive, but somebody had stolen thousands of dollars worth of tennis shoes. I don't even understand how that could be possible to have tennis shoes that are worth thousands of dollars, but somebody had them and somebody else stole them, and then a murder took place because of that. That's ridiculous. You know, when you get to heaven, you're not going to worry about whether you wore Nike or Converse or Adidas or whatever. What do you wear, Mr. Gonzalez? Walmart, amen. Something, yeah. When you get to eternity, you're not going to worry about what kind of car you drove, what kind of house you lived in, how many vacations you took. Folks, the reason we have what we have so we can serve God. Amen? And isn't God good to us? Now, I will tell you this. If you live a foolish life, the chances are there will be evidence of it in terms of possessions. Because a lot of the times, foolish people spend their money on the wrong things and wind up in poverty. I had a friend that was a missionary in Brazil, and he said they would go into an area, and the people were very, very poor. Very, very poor. And they would go into an area, and they'd start a church. And he said they'd come back 5 years later after the church had been established. And he said every single time, the people were better off after 5 years. I know one reason. Because when you give God 10% of your income like he asks for, he blesses you. He says that the windows of heaven will pour out a blessing on you. God can bless me and you better than we can bless me and you. So give God what belongs to him and he'll take care of you. That's not prosperity theology. That's just a fact. And I'm not, those guys on TV are lying to you. Don't listen to that stuff. But I'm just telling you, when you honor God with your money, God will take care of you. When you honor God with your life, God will take care of you. Solomon could have asked for money or for all sorts of things. He said, God, give me wisdom. And God took care of him. There's a result of good wisdom. The righteous, the Bible says, eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work shall be. Do you believe that? Jesus said, I'm coming back quickly, and I'm going to reward every man according to his works. Now, would you rather have the praise of men or the reward of Christ? Amen? Somebody says, I just want people to like me. I want people to think I'm good. I want people to treat me well. I want people to be my friends and to admire me and so on. You got a right idea, but the wrong subject. It would be better to have God pleased with you than men pleased with you. Because he's the one that's going to reward you. Those men are not. Wisdom produces a right result. If you think you're wise, it will be seen sooner or later. You say, I don't think that the Bible applies to my situation. I think I know more than the Word of God. It will be seen sooner or later whether you're right. Sometimes sooner than you think. All right, we're right on time here. Wisdom finds the truth. Wisdom produces the right result. Now, the last one is fun and easy. Look at verse 28. All Israel heard. Look at the end of that verse. It says, they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Wisdom earns a good reputation. Wisdom earns a good reputation. When you really are wise, other people will see it. Look at what happens here in this passage. We have people in the Bible that we can go back to, like Daniel. Daniel was wise, wasn't he? Joseph, David, Moses, they're known for their wisdom. When you read your Bible, what would you say? Would you say Paul was wise? If you think Paul was wise, say amen. Amen. So wait a minute. This fellow was persecuted. This fellow, he had no home. He spent his whole life traveling. He was in prison for a while. But do you understand something? He is the writer of a substantial portion of the Bible. He is a man that when you step into eternity, probably won't find anybody except maybe John the Baptist who has got more reward than Paul. That's wise. The fact that you're wise may not mean that you have a perfect life here, but it'll be a good life. And the fact is, when you read about Paul, you think, there's a man that was wise because look how he lived his life. There is evidence of it in the reputation. Peter, James, John, Paul, still known, used by the Lord to produce most of the New Testament. They had wisdom. A lot of people today are fools. Famous entertainers who fall to alcohol, drugs, or immorality. Criminals who died of horrible diseases. Writers that died of alcoholism. I don't know if you knew it, but people like W.C. Fields, Errol Flynn, Truman Capote, they died of alcoholism. You say, Pastor, they were famous. Yes, but they were fools. Tommy Dorsey, Judy Garland, Howard Hughes, they died of drug overdoses. That's not very wise. James Earl Ray, Jack Ruby, Ariel Castro, they died in prison. But think about these names. Ever heard of Billy Sunday? How about D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody was a man that made the statement, the world hasn't seen what God could do with someone totally dedicated to him. And he said that early in his life, and then he lived a life that was astounding. The souls he saw saved in the preaching and the revivals that he led. And when he lay on his deathbed, he said, the world still hasn't seen what God could do with a man who's totally dedicated to him. I was studying for the Exodus class, and if you remember back in the 9/11 event, how many of you remember that? You saw it on TV, and you were there, and you probably remember where you were. And I remember that following weekend, we had an event at our church, and there was a men's retreat. And in the year before, I believe it was that year, but it was right about that same time, a man came and preached that men's retreat, and he preached the message, and here's what he said. He said, Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody, because Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court. He said, Moses spent the next 40 years of his life learning he was nobody because he was in the wilderness and out in just raising sheep. And then he spent the last 40 years of his life learning that God is everything. And I thought, wow, that's a great outline. He got it from D.L. Moody. So anyway, D.L. Moody was a wise man. Not necessarily rich, but very wise. Adoniram Judson, the missionary to Burma. J. Hudson Fenner, the missionary to China. William Tyndale, a man who translated the New Testament. You see, reputation is going to come from wisdom. Just like you would say, well, what does the Bible say? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Be foolish to die and go to hell having heard the gospel. Be foolish to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand that because no one wants to gamble, I don't think anybody does anyway, wants to gamble spending eternity in hell. We'd say, of course I don't want to spend eternity in hell. What do I need to do to be saved? But scary, some people that are saved then live their life for the world and forget that Jesus is going to judge them one day. And they're either going to gain or lose rewards. Is it much less foolish to live your life for the world after you're saved than it is to never get saved? They're both pretty foolish to me, aren't they? I'm trying to convince you of something. There is wisdom available to you. You can learn it from the Word of God. You can get it from godly counselors, from pastors and teachers and parents and people that will show you the Word of God. Read Proverbs sometime. David, Solomon is encouraging his sons as he writes Proverbs to listen so they can have wisdom in their life. Wisdom makes life easier. Wisdom makes life more pleasant. Wisdom keeps us away from so many things that will hurt or destroy us. It's available to you. You'll find it in the Word of God, and God will give it to you if you will ask Him. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. James made that promise. Wisdom is not just knowing what is right. Wisdom is doing what is right. I used to, when I was in my 20s, I decided I wanted to go skydiving. And I found this place in South Texas that would teach you how to skydive. And I went over there, and sure enough, they gave me the class, and I did. I started skydiving, and a guy had a parachute for sale, and they sold me that parachute. I think I paid $1,000 for the parachute and all the equipment. It was a pretty good deal at the time. And so now I had my own parachute, and someone said, well, you know, you can pack that yourself. And I thought, oh, boy, that doesn't sound like a very good idea. No, we'll show you how. And there were some very specific things you had to do to pack that parachute. And you'd pack it and you'd get it just the way it was supposed to be and fold it up and put it in the pack. And I thought to myself, if I ever wanted to do something right, I want to pack this parachute right. And I did. I packed my parachute and I used that parachute for a couple of years. It was a good parachute and I never had any trouble with it at all. Opened every time. But just in case, there was a reserve on my back, and you couldn't pack your own reserve. You had to have somebody do that for you, had to pay them to do it. They had to be a certified rigger, and they had to know what they were doing. They'd pack that reserve just in case, because sometimes people are foolish, and they don't do what they're supposed to when they pack their parachute. It doesn't open right. Now, if a parachute didn't open right, you say, oh, you got a reserve. I got bad news for you, though. In your life, you don't have a reserve. You're going to live your life according to this book, or you may have a hard landing. You may have a rough time on the way down, and you may step into the Lord Jesus Christ's presence one day like those folks in Corinthians, and the Bible says they had nothing because their life was wood and hay and stubble. And they were saved, so as by fire. And when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and you were seeking the adulation of men, seeking the praise, the approval of men, seeking the possessions and the riches of this world, and seeking all the things that are here, and forgetting about Jesus, and you stand before God one day, you can't say, I didn't know, can you? You're going to have to admit, I lived a foolish life. Don't do that. You have the choice, amen? If you're wise, wisdom finds the truth. Wisdom produces a good result. Wisdom gives you a reputation others will see. Last story, and I'm done. We went to Montana with a bunch of young people one time for a missions trip. And this was up in northern Montana. And we stayed in a really scary motel. And there was a restaurant right next to it full of really scary people. And we walked in there dressed right, prayed before we ate. You could tell the side of our van, if you needed to see it, said Anchor Baptist Church on the side of the van. And people would look at us and they might snicker or they might ignore us or whatever. And then over and over that week, the motel manager came to me and he said this. He says, "I can tell you folks are different. Would you pray for," and he gave me a request for a sick family member. Somebody else came and said, "Would you pray for?" I had a job one time and I was the only person there that wasn't a Mormon, and people could tell I was different, and they'd give me a hard time in public, but then in private they'd come to me and say, "Would you pray for?" Because folks know if you're wise or not. Amen? The world needs some wise people. The world needs some people that know the Word of God and live by it. The world needs some people that will take a stand and say, "No, that's wrong. Yes, that's right." That's the reason our nation is in such a mess right now, is because we put up with everything. At least have the courage to stand up and say, "God is right, and I'm going to do it God's way." And the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man be a liar." I hope you are wise. I hope you're getting your wisdom from the Lord, which is the only place to get it. I hope you're applying it in your life. And if you are, people will see it. And the result will be good. And if you're not, it's like a badly packed parachute. You're in for a hard landing when you step into eternity. Let's all stand and pray.